Well, let's open up to, let's try something new. Ephesians. It's new every day. God's word is alive. It's quick, alive, and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. Able to penetrate, separate, divide, even the soul and the spirit. Sometimes you have trouble distinguishing between the two. You know, your soul goes, I'm weak. I'm failing. I'm going down for the last time. And your spirit says, what are you talking about? More than a conqueror through Christ. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. It takes the word of God to make that division a lot of times, you know. Well, I want to look at Ephesians 2 and be putting a marker in 1 Corinthians 15. We're going to be there quite a bit today. Ephesians chapter 2. I just want to show you the launching pad here. And really, he's still doing that process for me. I can't help it when I'm praying and meditating now. These things that in Ephesians, he's starting to, those threads of revelation are flowing all the way now through all the other books of the New Testament. And now they're reaching all the way back to Genesis. You know, and Hebrews. And it's amazing. It's just so. Okay, everyone do your little finger exercise. We're going to have Bible drill today. We're going to be looking at a lot of verses. This is a Bible study. About the size of the one I used to have. No, it's anyway. A little bigger. Ephesians 2. Now, we're going to look at the word quickened, especially in here. Now, you already know that in chapter 1, we've looked how many times that Jesus is seated far above. He's at the right hand of God in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. And we don't normally have a problem seeing Jesus seated there, you know, because in our mind, he deserved it, and he did deserve it. He earned it. He's the one that did pay the full price and 100% obedience, and he deserves to be there. I never have had a problem with that part. It's this next part. Verse 2, or chapter 2, says, you and you. Everyone point to somebody next to you. You. Then point to yourself, say, me. Hath he quickened? Who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation, our manner of life in times past, in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature, notice that. What were you before you got saved? What was your nature? It wasn't good, was it? Was by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, thank God for that part. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, here's that word, hath quickened us together with Christ. Hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace you are saved. That word quicken means to make alive. You know, Jesus is called the firstborn from the dead. And this is important to repeat. Everyone goes, why do you keep repeating? Because it's important. When it says firstborn from the dead, anytime that where I grew up, when that verse was ever mentioned, they always talked about physical resurrection, like he's the firstborn from physical death. That cannot be what it means if you let the Bible define the Bible. I mean, Lazarus had already been raised from the dead. People in the Old Testament were raised from physical death. How could Jesus be the firstborn from the dead if it's talking about physical death? No, it's talking about spiritual death. And the type is there for us in Genesis. He literally, when Aaron's rod was cast down, and that rod, which is a type of the cross, the wood on that cross, when it was cast down, he became a serpent. He didn't become a lamb that swallowed up snakes. See, that's what they want you to believe. No, he became a serpent. He who knew no sin was made to be sin. He took on that nature. He took it on himself. That's what was so horrible to him, to be separated from God. He'd never been separated from the Father, I'm talking. Never been separated. But boy, sin will do that. And then he literally took on our nature, the nature of fallen man. And like that serpent, he swallowed up. He took it, all that sin, into himself. And he went to hell and paid the price for it himself. Boy, his faith was God wasn't going to leave him in that condition. Prophesied out of the Psalms, you know, "You will not leave my soul in hell. Neither will my flesh see corruption," you know. So after the price was fully paid, and you can read about it in Hebrews, he said, "Again, when he bringeth the firstborn into the earth, he says, 'Today thou art my son.'" Those words caused the Holy Spirit to regenerate Jesus' nature from death back to life. And at that moment, he is the firstborn from the dead. Glory to God. Then I heard Kenneth Copeland say 25 years ago, and it made sense to me then. It still makes sense to the logical mind. Well, if there's a firstborn, there's a secondborn, and a thirdborn, and a fourthborn. Your number's in there somewhere. And that was okay until Jim Martin called a few years ago. Dr. Jim Martin. And he loves to study all the Greek words, and he's a lot more of a scholar than I am, you know. He was studying that passage in Ephesians. We were quickened together with him, raised up together with him. He says, "Gary, you know what the Greek actually says there?" He says, "We tend to think that Jesus was quickened, and then 2,000 years later, roughly, when we believed, we were quickened. That's not how God looks at it. The Greek language actually says when we were quickened together, in God's reality, when Jesus stepped out of that tomb, we stepped out of the tomb with him at the same time." And I'm going, "I wasn't born yet." But see, we tend to think sequentially because our minds tend to be finite, you know, or it's been trained in a finite world. So we tend to think within the boundaries of time. But God, time is a created thing. God's on the outside. Well, we did all that the last couple of services, but I just want to get, it's important that you understand. When it says the firstborn from the dead, he is really the firstborn from the dead. He is the first person that ever went from death to life in his spirit. Now, see, we got about 80% of the religious world mad at us already, and they're going to accuse us of the JDS heresy, you know, Jesus died spiritually. Sorry, honey, it's those that don't believe that Jesus died spiritually that's in heresy. Okay? He's the firstborn from the dead. It's the beginning of a new species. Now, today, I'm going to mess with your mind a little bit. He messes with mine, I come and mess with yours. That's the way it works. Now, let's talk about that quickening. We have it here twice in just these few verses. Verse 1, Ephesians 2:1, it says, "You hath he quickened." And if you come on down to verse 5, "Even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ." Got that? Go over to 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians 15. And we'll look at verse 45. And then we'll look at a few verses, and we're going to back up a little bit. Hallelujah. Well, we've got some advantages in our species that Adam never had in his species. See, let's just, I don't know if these kind of questions bother you, they bother me. Well, Adam sinned. And really, even though God clothed him and Eve with animal skins, really, Adam never did really get his dominion back, you know. That whole species had to die in Christ. First, spiritual death set in, then physical death. Took about 1,000 years, almost, for Adam to die. And who was the longest one? Methuselah? You know, almost 1,000 years. But then eventually in Christ, the whole species of Adam died. Now, we've been going over that very methodically over the last 2 or 3 sessions. So Adam never did really get his dominion back. Exactly what God said is what happened. "In the day you eat thereof, you'll surely die." Boy, he did. The whole species did. So now we got a new species. Here's one of the verses we're wanting to look at. 1 Corinthians 15:45. "So it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam, who's that? Jesus Christ. If you read this whole context, he's talking about Jesus Christ. The last Adam was made a quickening, a life-giving spirit. We've got two species here. The first man, Adam, and the last Adam. If you come on down to verse 47, the first man, that's the first man, Adam, is of the earth, earthy. The second man is the Lord from heaven, just so you have no doubt as to who he's talking about here. Now, does questions like this ever bother you? Okay, so Adam, he sinned, and his nature changed, and really there was no recovery from that. You could be forgiven, but man's nature couldn't be changed until the new birth. Well, the new birth couldn't happen until the entire species of Adam died in Christ. Well, that's pretty bad. You sin one time, and it's the sentence of death, not only on you, but on everybody who comes from you. So I'm going, okay, now in this new species, now don't tell anybody. Shh. This is just for us. It's just between us now. Secret. Since I got born again? Almost 30 years ago? Shh. I have sinned. If you tell anyone, I'll deny it. You know, some people take it so far as like, you say one cuss word, or if you lose your temper, that's it. Boy, you better not die in the next 60 seconds. You better repent. So you're always going life, death, back to life, repent, back to life, and then lose your temper, death. You know, I mean, the blue jeans people used to make a living off all us Baptists, because almost every service you got to run to the altar and repent again. You know, well, I might have done something wrong, you know. I'm just an old sinner saved by grace anyway. Better get back, make sure it's still intact. You know, good. Let's go do the sinner's prayer again. Do it again. Do it again. Life, death, death, life. See, we know really it doesn't work that way now. But why doesn't it work that way now? How come when you sin now, your spirit doesn't go from life to death again? Well, the answer is in the Word. And it's coming out of Ephesians, even though now it's stretching throughout the books. All right? Well, let's do it this way. I want you to turn back to Genesis for a minute. While you're turning there, I'm going to read you the other Genesis. Other Genesis? Yeah, John 1. In the beginning. You know, how does Genesis start? In the beginning. John 1, how does it start? In the beginning. Actually, John's goes back farther than Genesis, because it talks about the Word who existed before Genesis. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. And the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him. And without Him was not anything made that was made. And in the Greek it says, no, not one single thing. Just so you make sure you get it. So out of the second member of the Godhead came all substance. Everything. He is God the Father, conceives or plans what he wants. He wants something. God the Son, the Word, he's the one that speaks it. Out of him proceeds substance. But the Holy Spirit, the third member of the Godhead, I like to call him, he's the molecule changer. He's the one that was brooding and hovering over the face of the deep. So as God conceives what he wants, and the Son, that becomes the mind of Christ. Can I say it that way? He knows what the Father wants. Then when we read there in Genesis, and God said, and God said, and God said, who is that? That's the second member of the Godhead. And who is he talking to? That's the third member of the Godhead. That's the Holy Spirit that's brooding upon the face of the waters. Now, I mentioned to you the other night, and when I tell you it's my opinion, when I'm preaching, you know, I'm going to tell you it's my opinion. Now, in Genesis, okay, I better go to Genesis 1. In Genesis 1 here, where it says, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God," that's the Holy Ghost, "moved upon the face of the waters. And God said," you could say, and the second member of the Godhead said, or you could say, "and the Word said." And in the Hebrew, I like it better, "Light be," and "light was." And I have a picture right there of the sun and the moon, because it talks about dividing the light from the day, and the first day was called day or something. Here, we just read it. So it says, God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And the evening and the morning were the first day. Sounds like a normal day, doesn't it? Sounds like sunrise, sunset, daytime, nighttime. Trouble of it is, come down to verse 14. "And God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heavens to divide the day from the night. And let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years. And let them be for lights in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth. And it was so. And God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night." Oh, and he made the stars also. It's like, oh yeah, he made those two. Now, wait a minute. If he doesn't create the sun and the moon until verse 16, what is the light he's talking about back here in verse 3? My humble opinion, Gary Carpenter's personal understanding, trying to merge engineering and theology. Well, Einstein came up with E equal MC squared. Energy equals mass. If you can accelerate mass at the speed of light squared, mass becomes energy. That means the chair you're sitting in, if somehow we could speed up the molecules in that chair to that speed, it would disappear. It wouldn't be matter anymore. It wouldn't be mass. It would be E. It would become energy, and your bottom would be on the carpet. Okay. See, I believe when he says that light be, I believe that's the light line. I always wondered how angels could appear and then disappear, and how they can, you can look at them and think they're a human, and then suddenly they're gone. How could Jesus come and eat a fish? After the resurrection, he can eat a fish, walk through the wall, and the fish not slide down the wall. See, I don't understand that. Well, when the light line, I believe that's when God created the, what we call the speed of light. It's the one constant, well, not the only one, but it's the universal constant of the universe, the speed of light. Everything in the material creation, everything in what we call real, is below that light line. But the realm of the spirit, everything there functions above that light line. Did you know that even from Einstein's equations, if you can't approach the speed of light, which is theoretically impossible, which makes sense if God designed it that way, that we can't physically cross over that line? Did you know if you could, though, time stops? And that's where God lives. He lives outside of time. You thought you was coming to Bible study, and now we're having engineering school. I like these kind of things, you know. But we're really talking about, he's trying to get us to understand our species. One of the prophecies that came forward recently, it caught me by surprise, even though it came through me. He says, his goal is to bring our understanding so that we as thoroughly understand we are his child as we used to understand we were Adam's child. Woo! Now that's going to be something, isn't it? All right. Chapter 2 of Genesis, verse 7. When you think about Adam's creation, the first man, Adam. Here we looked at a verse. There was a first man, Adam, and there's a second man. First Adam, last Adam. God calls him the first man, the second man. Did you know really from God's point of view, he's only ever made two men? Well, basically he made Adam. Then out of Adam, he made Eve. And then basically says, now go make humans. You go make humans. See? All right? You ever think about it? He didn't make any more. He says, you go make them. And that's really the law of Genesis, which I never understood till Dave taught us. Before that, I still believed in mythology, that somehow little spirits were created up in heaven, and then they were somehow assigned to human bodies on the earth, you know. So once I really understood, no, the law of Genesis, he did. He made one man. And then he said, now you go make man. I'm not making man anymore. You go make him. And we're going to come back to that with Jesus here in a minute, because we got a new species. Okay? So let's think now. I was meditating on all of this and thinking, remembering the vision that he showed me one time, and we've looked at it already, that without Christ was not anything made that was made. So when it says here in verse 7, and the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. In a vision one time, I was praying and meditating on all these things. This was years ago. And I saw, just as plain as day, that it was the second member of the Godhead. It was Jesus, the pre-incarnate Christ, the second member. And what he did, he formed that body, lifted up that body in his hands. And I saw it was Christ, the second member of the Godhead, that breathed that breath of life into Adam. So my first thought was, I'm sharing this with one of my daughters, and I said, well, you know, in a way, then, Jesus was Adam's Adam. But the more I thought about that, it doesn't work. It won't work. You know why? To us, we only think of Adam's name as being Adam. But really, the Hebrew word Adam just means man. It means mankind. In that very verse, chapter 2, verse 7, where it says, and the Lord God formed man of the dust of the earth. The Hebrew word there is Adam. And breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man, the Hebrew word there is already Adam. Now later on it says he called him Adam. But it's already using that word. So here's the difference. See, when Christ spawned, let's say it this way, when he put life into the first species, he was in the form of God. Christ was not a man. He was the second member of the Godhead. So the life that came into Adam was like a deposit. It wasn't a continual flow. You had God who imparted life. Then he says, now, you go make man from here on. All right? So everyone, but now the whole species of man, and no matter what color you are either, red, black, brown, polka-dotted, striped, it didn't make no difference. Almond eye, round eye, make no difference at all. Eve is called the mother of what? All living. So you don't get, don't let them tell you something else. No matter what color we are, we all came from Adam and Eve. Really, we all came from Adam. All right, now, so what happened with Adam? Here's another question I don't have the answer. You know, what if they would have had children before he fell? I don't know. But that didn't happen, did it? So we don't have to really worry about that too much. But what happened, that deposit, it was like God, like Jesus, he breathed that breath into them, and there was a deposit of life. And he says, okay, now I have made you into a human producing factory. With that life, go make people. Trouble is, before they even had their first child, they fell. And that deposit, see, and originally it tells you in the book of Genesis, at least twice, it says, in the image of God created he him, in the image of God created he them. Who are we told is the express image of God? Jesus is the express image. So that breath of life that came into them was perfect when it come in. It was the very, they were made in the likeness. They were made in the image of God. But it was a deposit. At when they sinned and death entered by sin, that life deposit changed. It altered. It wasn't in the image of God. It had some of it, but it was perverse now. It had a nature to sin, which was not in that original deposit. And every human that's ever lived, from God's point of view, was in Adam at the time. So that nature was passed on, parent to child, parent to child, parent to child, all the way down to us sitting in our chairs today, till you get born again. Well, we all know that. We've had lots of lessons on that. But Jesus was not Adam's Adam, because the very word means man. So he was his creator. He was his life giver. But he didn't spawn. Jesus was not the first man. He imparted life to the first man. Now you're saying, well, look, Gary, this seems so redundant. Well, hang on. It's going to get real good here in a little bit. Okay. So Jesus spawned the first species of man. But we know what happened to that species, right? So now Jesus is spawning a second species of man. This species is called several names. For one thing, we are all born from the dead. You got that? We are also called the very children of God. You got to be careful of billboards. You got to be careful you don't have billboard theology. I was driving one time and they had these billboards about every 20 miles or so. And it was when that song first came out and was so popular, "We Are the Children of the World." We are the children, you know. And the billboard showed people of all different races and colors, and old ones and young ones. There was all these people. And the caption was, "We are all the children of God." And at first that sounds okay, you know. But see, if you read in Galatians, it'll plainly tell you. No, we are the children of God through faith in Christ Jesus. Those are the children of God. The whole world is the creation of God. He loves everybody. But you're not his child until you are born of his Spirit. Got that? You got to be careful of billboard theology. Okay? All right. Colossians chapter 1. I told you it's Bible day. By the way, if you want to look up that verse in Galatians just later, it's Galatians 3:26, if you want to put that in your notes. "For you are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus." And I want you to see this. This is where it talks about Christ being the firstborn from the dead. But see, there's a major difference in our species and Adam's species. There is a reason why your spirit doesn't go from life to death just because you ate an apple off a tree or because you did any other sin. You told one little lie. Death for you. You know. See, and I didn't know how to get around that for years. I didn't know how to get around it. I mean, thank God for praying in other tongues. Thank God for the Holy Ghost. Thank God for learning how to meditate the Word in whole images. Thank God for assimilation of the Word. I haven't assimilated all of the Old Testament like I did the New Testament. But I've read enough of it that he can still run those threads back there for me. See? Hallelujah. All right, Colossians chapter 1, look at verse starting in 15, talking about Christ, who is the image of the invisible God. He is the firstborn of every creature, for by him were all things created. There we go again. John wasn't the only one. By him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. It's not atomic glue. Those of you that were here the last time in engineering class, this guy way back in the 60s, don't let that scare you. This guy asked a question. Well, if atoms only have protons and neutrons at their nucleus, you know, the electrons go around the outside. Well, if protons are positive charged, neutrons have no charge, So if it's only protons and neutrons, all positive, what keeps atoms from just flying apart? You ever try and put the two magnets together, positive to positive? You can't force them. You can't do it. They repel each other. What keeps every atom from just flying apart if it's just positive charges there and neutral? So the instructor, the great intellect that we're paying thousands of dollars to sit there and learn from in college, he says, we don't know. We just call it atomic glue. Hey, today they're calling it dark energy. I call it Jesus. By him, all things consist. Another place will tell you it's being held together by the word of his power. He is the head of the body. Now he's talking about us, the church, who is the beginning. Now here's the phrase, the firstborn from the dead. He's the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. Lord, help me again now. Okay. Pastor Dave, I hate to bother you, but we need someone to represent God, and I'm in your church. So this is Christ, and this is really, he's going to represent this time the second member of the Godhead. For benefit of the message, who can't see me, go ahead, sit down. He is seated right here in heaven. Seated in heaven. Alan, since you're here, you're going to be the first man, Adam. If you'll come stand down here on the earth. So he's already created you, and here's your body. And now, but he's God. He's not in the form of a man. You're in the form of a man. You're the first man, Adam. And he's breathe. You know. And here comes. See, that life is imparted to him from God, not from a man. And he's got it like a deposit. He's in him. He's got the deposit of life. Everywhere he goes on earth, he's got that life. Is that right? But see, the trouble of it is there's no vital connection. It's a one-time deposit. Now, it'll run for a long time. So when he sinned, God didn't change. But Adam changed. Yeah. All right. Now stay right there for a minute. Okay, you can go sit down. But now, Christ had to become a man. He became incarnate. This is the second man that God. How did God do it? Same way, by the Holy Ghost, in the womb of a little virgin named Mary. God changed his form. The second member of the Godhead came. He became a man. Has the life of God in him, of course. Lives 30 years without sin. Then ministers for 3 years. Then he becomes sin. Took on that nature. It's hard for us to believe because religion trained us otherwise. But he became the serpent. Swallowed up Adam's sin, your sin, my sin. Even those that weren't born again anymore. I mean, weren't even born physically yet. He took the whole species of Adam upon himself and paid the price. But after it was paid, God says, that's enough. Again, I bring you into the earth. This day thou art my son. But when he came to life, he didn't come back to where he was before. He went on to what I called the next dispensation. He's already living in the realm of the spirit. Even his body was glorified. No dictionary. He's doing it for benefit. Who you can't see. Dave's doing his Arnold Schwarzenegger now. He's all glorified now. He's not gnarly anymore. And seated a man now. It's a glorified man, but it's a man. Seated in heaven. Now this time there's no. Yes, I need Adam back again. Then I need Rich. Come here. See the way it was before. The way it was before. While Christ was in the form of God, he imparted a deposit into Adam. Then Adam and Eve produced Rich. And whoever else. Can you see it? Now the trouble is, wasn't Rich's fault But when Adam went gnarly, Rich went gnarly. Go gnarly. And the trouble was, Rich, trouble of it was, Rich had no access to God. Because Adam had given Rich his life. It came from Adam. All right, but now watch this. Watch this. So this one, he became the second born, if you'll allow me. He becomes a believer in this risen man, Christ. Now you come down here. For I know that Christ is positionally seated in heaven, but for benefit, he is a man. Now Adam steps out of the way, and he's just a believer. Rich, when he believes, you're not gnarly anymore. He's a believer. And each one of their lives now, each one, doesn't go back to Adam. Each life goes directly back to Jesus Christ himself. How many of you know he's not about to sin? Because you go to Hebrews 7 where it says he is forever harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners. He's already gone on to that next place. We don't have, not that he ever would anyway, but just so there'd be no chance, he's not even here to be tempted anymore. Your life, that before it was like a deposit, now he is the vine, we are the branches. Now you got to go around on the other side, Rich. It doesn't really work that way. You got to go around on the other side. See, every human now goes back one generation. It just goes back to Jesus, the man. Yes. Not Jesus, the God. Jesus, the God-man. There's no go-between. There's no Adam now in between the two. Your life goes directly back to him. So if you sin, his blood is still on the mercy seat. Hebrews 7 talks all about his priesthood. He is also your high priest. He ever liveth to make intercession for you. All he's requiring is, now tell me the truth, son. Did you sin? Yes, I did. All right, my blood is still on the mercy seat. Do you repent? Yes, I repent. You going to do it anymore? I'm not going to do it anymore, Daddy. I'm not going to do it anymore. And he's cleansed again. He's forgiven and cleansed from all unrighteousness. That's why we don't go from life to death and life to death back and forth again. You are, it's not a one-time impartation. Now you are connected to the vine. You are connected to the vine. All, now you can. This is Hebrews. Short version of Hebrews. You can if you want. This was the whole warning to them. He says, I've had enough. This persecution, this tribulation, all this trouble. They're giving me trouble everywhere I go. I'm going back to the law of Moses. Now, if you do that, by your choice, you get gnarly again. Somebody, if you cut yourself off from the vine, how would you do that? It's not sin, really. I mean, you can, I guess, if you went long enough, far enough. But really, what the warning was in Hebrews, don't go back to some other religion. Don't reject Christ. So in our day, it would be, don't become a Muslim. Don't become a Buddhist. Don't become an atheist. Don't choose anything but Christ. He is the life. And as long as you stay with him, honey, you're going to be okay. This is something Adam never had. He did not have a man, God, progenitor that his life flowed from. It was a one-time deposit from God to man. It was a creation. But his nature changed. Listen, our progenitor is a man, a God man, a man who is fully man, but he's fully God at the same time. There's no go between you and him. Hallelujah. Did you get that? Whew. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Sometimes pictures, and for benefit, those of you that can't see what we just did, Father, help them. So let me say it with words the best I know how for them. It's important to note that I've drawn all this out. He does me with diagrams, so I've been working on my computer drawing all this out. It's important to note that when Jesus began the first species of man, he himself was not a man at that time. He was fully God, had not yet made that he had not changed. The second member of the Godhead. So Jesus was the creator, but he was not the first man. Adam was the first man. You got that? So the first man, Adam, he was made a living soul. But the last man, Adam, he was made a quickening spirit. So again, it's important to understand from God's point of view, he's only ever made two men. He made Adam, and he says, now go make people. He formed Jesus by the Holy Ghost, the second man, in the womb of Mary. Spawned by the Holy Ghost, the human Jesus. You got that? Jesus is the first born from the dead. Can I say it this way? He is the Alpha of our species. Could I say it this way? Okay, just like this. Yes, sir. Where is it? I wrote that verse down. Look this one up later. 1 Corinthians 15:22 tells you, for as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. See, there's only two kinds of humans. You're either in Adam or you are in Christ. Now, Adam, in him, in his DNA, especially if you think about him before Eve was formed, in his DNA, every human that's ever been born was already in him, in his DNA. Got that? Jesus is the beginning of our species. Every believer, whoever will be, is in Christ. You got that? All right, now, it's important to understand that. You're either, from God's point of view, there's only two types of humans. You're either in Adam or you're in Christ. You ever met any Christians who are genuinely born again? Now, don't raise your hand on this. But they're genuinely born again. You can interrogate them, and boy, I mean, they put their trust in the blood, and you know, they love Jesus, but they've never had the kind of opportunity like we've had to go through the edification process because they were removed from the Holy Ghost as their teacher, pretty much, because if someone told them tongues wasn't for today and so forth. You ever met a believer that's genuinely a believer, but they're pretty much mean as a snake? Yet you meet an unbeliever, an atheist. I've met some who are really pretty nice people. Okay? Yet at the end of time, the books are going to be opened. Your name better be found in the book of life. Read it for yourself. If your name is not found in that book of life, it's not good. It's really not good. Man continues to think you make heaven based on what you do. But really, it's based on who you are. You're either in Christ. Now, some people run off with that and they start off 1 degree off and get 20 degrees off, and they'll start saying, see, it doesn't matter how you live. It doesn't matter. You can just be an old sinner. You can just do anything you want out there. Well, I got a lot of verses against that. Okay? But the truth of the matter is, from God's point of view, you're either in Christ or you're in Adam. It's one or the other. Well, all right. So, do you have any trouble understanding Jesus as the firstborn from the dead? You do? You still have trouble? Y'all are so quiet. Answer me. Do you have any trouble? Yeah, but who is the secondborn? When did anybody else but him, when was the first time? Anybody him, when did it happen? Turn to John chapter 20. I've taken a lot of heat over this over the years. It's okay, it's the truth anyway. When was the first time anybody else was born again? See? Now I want you to get that image in Genesis again. It was the second member of the Godhead. He formed the man out of the dust of the ground. Then what did he do? He breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. Now watch this. This is after the resurrection of Jesus. He's appeared to his disciples. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut and the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus. This is the resurrected Jesus. This is the glorified Lord. And he stood in the midst and he said unto them, peace be unto you. And when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. I bet they were. Then said Jesus to them again, peace be unto you, as my Father hath sent me, even so send I you. And when he had said this, he what? He what? How did God impart life to Adam? He breathed into him the breath of life. Now here it says, receive you. You see, breathed on them and saith unto them, receive you the Holy Ghost. But what the Holy Ghost did there, it's the same thing the Holy Ghost did in Genesis. It quickened their spirit. And they went from death to life at that moment. The last Adam has begun his species. Now see, when you get born again, it's obviously not Jesus himself that comes and breathes on you, is it? I mean, you heard the gospel through somebody. You heard the gospel maybe on radio. We heard it through a little guy named Michael Muccio at Bible studies, you know. But it's not like if my friend Charlie sitting over here, if he would have been the one that witnessed to me and gave me the gospel, and then I become a believer, does Charlie become my father? Well, in some sense, Paul said, you may have many teachers, 10,000 teachers in the word, but you have not many fathers. And what he meant by that, he was the one that brought the gospel to them. But see, Charlie's spiritual DNA, really, he doesn't become my father. He's not between me and Jesus. See, the point of this lesson, Jesus is your Adam. You only go, there is no Adam, but there's no man between you and Jesus. When you get born again, the Holy Spirit does the same thing with you that he did there. He quickens you to new life directly. Jesus is the vine. This is not a one-time impartation. This is a continual. He is living in heaven. We are his body on the earth. Now, we have trouble with that. Have you ever had to have your soul in Albuquerque and operate your body in Tulsa? We can't. You can't do that. They have to be one, don't they? That's exactly what he's trying to accomplish now. Even though he is in heaven, by the Holy Spirit, we can have his mind delivered to us so completely and so fully that we become one. We are his body on the earth. Jesus said about himself, I don't do my own will. I don't decide what to do. He says, as the voice comes to me, I make a decision. I decide as I'm told to decide. It's not me doing these works. It's the Father in me doing the works. And he says, I and my Father are one. He would spend time in fellowship with the Father to the point, if you want to see the Father, he said, just look at me, Philip. You want to see the Father? Well, just look at me. I'm not the one that did all this. I'm just the expression of what the Father wants. That's exactly what we're supposed to be to Christ now. Paul said, it's no longer I that liveth. Well, yeah, it is me, but it's really Christ in me. And the life that I now live, I'm living by the faith of the Son of God. Glory to God. We can be there. But you don't have to live in fear. I mean, I've had religion pound me. Maybe you never did. But I mean, boy, did you tell a lie? Did you curse? Did you lose your temper? Just pick it. Anything. So I always had this picture. Life dead. Life dead. Dead. Life dead. That's in 2 hours. Depends on what kind of day you're having. If you're running a construction crew, 1 hour. No. It's different with us. He is the vine. We are the branches. It is a continual life flow. Thank God there is no man that can separate you now. See, Adam's sin really did separate the whole human race from God. There's no man between you now. No man can separate you. That's what Jesus was saying. They may throw you out of the synagogue, but they can't take you out of my Father's hand. Glory to God. Is that good stuff? All right. Hallelujah. How does this affect how we live? Go to John 15. We'll finish up here today. And I know you can teach worship, and you can teach fellowship, and you can teach all of those things from this passage. And that's the way it was taught to me. But you got to remember who Jesus is talking to here. He's talking to Jewish men who grew up their whole life thinking the way to please God was keep the law of Moses. And he is warning them, don't go back to that after I go to the Father. I am the vine. You are the branches. Don't separate yourself from me and go back trusting the law. If you do, you're going to be cut off like a branch. But if you abide in me, if you continue abiding me and my words abide in you, you're going to bear much fruit. Now, I said it. Now, let's read it. I am the true vine. My Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that bears not fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he purges it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now, you are clean. That word clean there is exactly the same word translated purged in the verse before. He's saying, now you are purged. How do you get purged? Through the words. Through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can you, except you abide in me. Now, ultimately, foundationally, what he's telling them, don't go back to the law of Moses. In our generation, he would say it, if he was teaching, here he was teaching, every one of those guys was a Jew. If he was teaching to us in our day, he would say, there is no other religion, no matter what Carlton says. You can't be a good Hindu and make it. You can't be a good Muslim and make it. You can't be a good atheist and make it. There is no other. I am the vine. Earlier he says, I am the way, the truth, the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. So he's warning them. Now, don't you go back to the law of Moses. But see, right on the other hand here, when he says, abide in me and my words abide in you. Now, we are talking some level of fellowship. You just can't go out and do everything you want to do. Jesus said of himself, he says, I'm not doing these things of my own. What I hear my Father, what I hear, that's what I say. What I see him doing, that's what I do. There is an abiding in the vine. See, I'm not really too concerned about anyone in the sound of my voice turning that, you know, okay, I'm going to be a Muslim now. I think you're way too gone for that. Gone in a good way. Okay? But the problem is man always wants to be outdoing when really it's Christ that needs to be doing through man. Boy, there is a world of difference between those two things. Man has all kinds of good intentions, you know. I mean, you see people that are blind. Well, what, and we have Becky right over here who trains C&I dogs. C&I dogs and helper dogs, all kinds of dogs. That's great. That's wonderful. We should be doing that. But see, ultimately, and Becky knows this, Becky, which would you rather have if you was blind? One of your trained dogs or sight? We'll take sight every time, right? See, that's the one is man doing good things in the name of God. The other is God doing his own thing through man. Now, that's the mission of this church. That's the assignment that we're on, is to go far enough into God to bring a supernatural revival to a religious city. I thank God for everyone that's helping anybody. Hey, my dad's been in and out of the hospital. I thank God for every nurse, every doctor, everything that they did. But I wish somebody could lay their hand on my dad's brain and restore it to function. Full function. Which is exactly what Jesus would do if he'd walk in the room. You can't convince me otherwise. So that's what we're contending for. But he says, abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, see, it's not sufficient for man to try and go and do good stuff for God. It's better than nothing. But the fruit that he's talking about here, the real fruit, is the kind that we see on his limb. The kind that we saw him produce, where the blind see, the lame walk, the deaf hear, the maimed were made whole. We've got a case right here in our church where a little girl was born with a partial brain. She's maimed in her brain. And I don't know anywhere on earth we can take her right now where they can get that the rest of that brain restored. It's just a maimed thing. She's missing part of it. I don't know how old she is now. She's a teenager maybe. But if Jesus walked through the wall and laid his hand on Victoria, honey, it's over. She'd be fully restored. Wouldn't be a... We'd, and She'd learn language quickly, and she'd be up here giving her testimony. And a lot of people would get saved. A lot of people would get saved. So I'm just, again, you got to understand, I don't care what the devil says. Every time you miss it, you don't die again. Get that picture in your mind real strong. It's you. You personally. You don't go back generation after generation. See, all these verses are coming together. This is why Paul says we don't know any man after the flesh anymore. What he means by that is the Jews, are you kidding? Who are you? Well, I am the son of so-and-so. Who was the son of so-and-so? Who was the son of so-and-so? And they go all the way back to Abraham. That's knowing somebody after the flesh. He says, we don't know any man like that. We don't even know Jesus like that now. For you, the spiritual you, the real you, the part that's born of God, you only go back one generation, and that's Jesus. Jesus is your Adam. There's nobody in between you and him. He's ever living, seated at the right hand of God, making intercession for you right now. And if you miss it, run to the blood. Don't run from it. You don't go from death to life and back again. The only way you can really do that is separate yourself from the vine by choosing some other God or choosing no God. Don't do that. You are a new species of human. Before this is through, he promised us, we will have the understanding that we are his child to the same level we used to understand we were man's child.